ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Buddha means the learned people. So who is called as learned? One who is not stuck up with some immediate cause, but one who knows the remote cause, the ultimate cause of all that being. And he is called as a Buddha, or one who is the most learned or wise. And Krishna says the symptom of one who is truly learned is that iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanta. Such a person has to be my devotee. He is engaged in my active devotional service. So it is not some kind of devotion in the mind or in the heart. He says that person is engaged in Krishna's devotional service. Iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanta. Actually the word Buddha is the root word of Buddha also. Buddha means one who is enlightened, one who is wise. Bhava samanvitaha means with all their hearts and all their attention, they worship me, he says. So now one may ask, how do Krishna's devotees worship him with all their hearts? That is answered in this verse, text 9. Machitta Madhyata Prana. The thoughts of my pure devotees always dwell in me. Everyone's thought is certainly dwelling on something or the other in this world. It's not possible for one to become free from thoughts. It's just not possible. Although there are a class of philosophers who advocate the philosophy of becoming desireless or thoughtless, emptying the mind. It is a futile exercise in simply emptying the mind, because the mind always dwells on something. That is why those who perform meditation, they try to achieve this samadhi or complete concentration. Concentration means completely focusing all one's mind and senses on one object. That is called concentration. In Patanjali Yoga Sutra, he explains about how as a person progresses in controlling the senses through yama and niyama by following the two sentiments, and then one does pranayama by which one controls the breathing process, and then one does asanas to control the senses, and then one comes to pratyahara. Pratyahara means one does not give any senses, sense objects for the senses to enjoy. So they do many steps, and then they come to a stage called as dharana. The meaning of the word dharan means to hold or grasp or to have some support. It's called as dharana. And in the stage of dharana, one is able to hold the mind on the desired object. So what is the desired object by a yogi? That is the Vishnu's super soul form, Paramatma form of Vishnu. So in Bhagavatam you will study how a yogi is supposed to focus on the lotus feet of the Lord, on the calf, on the thighs, on the hips, chest, arms, even the Sushumna Chakra. Every single aspect of the Lord's personality the yogi focuses. But dharana is a stage where about 12 seconds you can focus on objects. Again the mind wanders. Again for some more time you can focus. Again the mind wanders. So dharana means he has got some ability to hold but then it doesn't last for a long time. But when he keeps on practicing by doing that abhyas, then he comes to the dhyan stage. Dhyan is 12 multiplied by 12. It is 144 seconds. How many minutes it is?
2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is able to hold the object for so long. And then when it matures up even more, 12 into 12 into 12, it comes to something like 25 minutes and 28 seconds. So, almost half an hour. If you are chanting Hare Krishna for almost 4 to 5 rounds, you should be able to hold your attention completely without any distraction. Then we are in Samadhi stage. So Samadhi is a stage when one even forgets the external bodily activities. Totally. Sometimes one doesn't even know where one is. Where one is sitting or standing or where is. One totally forgets everything all around. And one's mind is so absorbed in total rapt attention. Like that. In the material world, it is very difficult for us to get that type of samadhi. Because we will see that the mind has a very flickering nature. And it easily goes towards the sense objects very fastly. It gets distracted very, very easily. You will see that when we are focusing on sense objects, we get an instant samadhi. Like, you know, every sense of object. For example, as soon as you know that there is a Mahaprasad coming from inside, some gulab jamun, only very few are there, just 2 or 3. Then everyone's eye is in that. Full focus, attention is there. Or something fragrant for the nose, attractive, immediately attention goes there. Especially if there is going to be competition, then our mind is so absorbed that you forget everything else. Sometimes your eyes are open but you can't see anything else except that object, like that. Same thing in every senses, like the eyes, nose, tongue, ears and skin. When our mind is focused on a sense object, one becomes so absorbed, one becomes practically speechless. One forgets even the perception of the body. One becomes completely absorbed in some kind of samadhi. Like a man is absorbed in looking at a woman. For example, he gets attracted. So the absorption is so much that he forgets the other things. Like he tells the story of Dhanurdas, isn't it? Dhanurdas was seeing Hemamba and he was fanning her. Such a total absorption. He could not hear the sounds of the mridangam, and so many things are going on. There the Vedic mantra is being chanted, so many brahmanas are chanting, Lord was coming in the street, but he could not see anything. Total absorption. So in material objects we get instant absorption, instant samadhi. Whereas on spiritual objects we have a very difficult time. So what's wrong? Why not we just dwell our mind on material objects and just be happy? That is not appreciated in the scriptures. The scriptures say, if we allow our thoughts to dwell on material objects, gradually they will drag us lower and lower and lower to material platforms, in which one will gradually become barbaric and animalistic. When one simply dwells on material objects, it's not a very difficult concept to understand. Everyone has a practical experience. If you dwell your thoughts on material things, then gradually it drags you down, pulls you down. And the mind has a natural tendency to go towards material objects, unfortunately. So we have to make a strenuous endeavor to pull the mind from such lower thoughts and learn to dwell on higher things, spiritual things. That's like we were telling the example of a monkey. Like the mind is like a monkey. So one, first of all, has to quack the mind and chastise the mind. Oh, foolish mind. Oh, foolish monkey-like mind. Why are you always hopping and jumping from one branch to another? Why do you want to enjoy this object and that object? Don't you know that you have been endeavoring in this material world for so many lifetimes? And you have been achieving all these objects. Punaha punaha charvita charvanana. So one has to actually patiently preach to the mind. There is no other way. This is the beginning. One has to actually preach to the mind. He says, Manasa vichintaya varam varam. He says, again and again you please to the mind. One has to develop some attraction for the philosophy, Bhagavad Gita and scriptures. And one should have a great zeal and have a great spirit, and there's some kind of a sportive spirit in controlling the mind. Only then the mind will come under control. The mind is like a dog which you have tamed for so many years. Again and again the dirty dog comes and sits on the lap. The doctor may tell you, the dog, you know, it's very dangerous, it has got parasites on the neck. Better that you get rid of it. But you may tell the dog, you go away. But the dog doesn't go. Because you have tamed him for so long. Again and again the dog will come and sit on the lap. Again and again you take him away. Again and again, repeatedly. You may have to probably take a stick and, you know, show the stick or beat with the stick and drive him out. Similarly, the mind will have, mind always has a tendency to go down to lower things. Like that. So one has to preach to the mind, like Bhagavan Sarasvati also preaches in the song, you know. Dushtamanatum kishera vaishnava. What kind of Vaishnava are you, foolish mind? You are always after name, fame, adoration, distinction. You are always after the worldly objects. How many lifetimes I have fed you, and you appear to be never satisfied, and you appear to be never having any mercy on me, and you are demanding more and more. So, after one calms on the mind, updating mind, and does not titillate the mind, and then, even then the competition doesn't come instantly. In fact, one has to, just like an aeroplane which lands, you know, it doesn't land on immediately, you know. First it comes at the runway and then it lands at a particular place. Sometimes there is no place for landing. It keeps rotating, isn't it? Similarly, our concentration on the holy name doesn't come immediately. On Krishna's name from Pakistan doesn't come immediately. That is why we have this sattvic association, that we learn some shlokas and we recite the shlokas, we offer some prayers, we bow down to the Lord, do dandavat, we make garland for him, make dress for him, we cook bhoga for him and offer him, and spiritualize all our activities throughout the day, and surround ourselves with such a holy atmosphere that the mind will be forced to surrender to Krishna. That is why we have fasts, we have festivals, we have yatras, we have association satsanga, seminars coming together, isn't it? The whole idea is to gradually take away the mind that is dwelling on wrong objects which are very dangerous for the mind and fix them on Krishna. So that's what we are endeavoring to do. Here the Lord is talking about his devotees, mat chitta. My devotees' chitta is always in me. Their thoughts always dwell in me, he says. Mat chitta. So as far as the pure devotees are concerned, their thoughts are always dwelling in the Lord. This is the stage of spontaneous love, where one thinks of Krishna very easily without making any special endeavor. Just as it is said in the stage of asakti, the mind will be driven to think of Krishna. As much as the conditioned soul's mind is driven to think of sense gratification. Like that. It's very natural for us. Once a devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, if I sit to chant Hare Krishna, immediately my mind thinks of all the beautiful girls who are coming to temple. But they are also devotees. He said, what should I do? And Prabhupada said, you should tell your dirty mind that these are all gopis of Krishna. They are meant for Krishna's enjoyment, not for your enjoyment. So, if one makes everything positive in Krishna's service, then the mind becomes calm. And for advanced devotee, like for example Madhavendra Puri, one section I can read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhavendra Puri is a very great Acharya. He is called as the root of love of God in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Once, when he came to Vrindavan, it is said he did not even know whether it was day or night. He was so absorbed in chanting Krishna's names. Sometimes he would fall on the ground, sometimes he would stand up, and he would be constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And he came to a place close to Govindakund, and he was sitting under a tree, and he was chanting Krishna's names for a long, prolonged period of time. And that evening one small boy came, and he asked him, "Oh Madhavendrapuri, why don't you drink this milk which I have brought for you? And you have not eaten anything since the morning. In my village, nobody fasts," he said. And Madhavendrapuri was surprised. He asked him, "Who are you? Which is your place? How did you know that I haven't eaten anything?" And the small boy, he said, "Some women, they came here fetching water and they observed that you have been here chanting all day long and you are not eating anything. Why don't you beg for some food? In this village, anybody who begs, immediately they get their food. But if somebody does not beg, then I am there. I go and feed them food," he said. And then he said, "I have brought this pot of milk for you. Please take it." And Madhavendrapuri accepted it. And he drank the milk. And then he was almost dozing. And he said, even in his dozing, he was constantly chanting Hare Krishna. Even while dozing. And in his sleep, the very same boy appeared. He spoke to him. And then Madhavendrapuri realized that this boy is not an ordinary boy. He is Sakshat Krishna, who appeared to give him this milk. And he cried tears of ecstasy. And then this boy spoke to him, "Oh Madhavendrapuri, how long I have been waiting for you. I wanted to tell you this. For a long time I have been buried underneath the ground here. And it is very hot, the ground. So I request you to take help of some people and dig the ground, take me out and establish me on the top of Govardhan Hill. And I am very eager to be served by you." So Madhavendrapuri immediately called some people and he told them about his dream. They all started digging and they took out a very beautiful Gopal deity from the ground, as Lord had promised, a beautiful Gopal deity. And with the help of all those people and many brahmanas, he established the deity on the top of the hill. And then he celebrated a very beautiful Annakoot festival, Govardhan festival. And people prepared varieties of festivals and they brought right up to the hill. There were different types of sweets, rice, dal, chapati, all types of sweet rice. There are many other items mentioned. So hundreds and thousands of people of the village came to see this Gopal on the top of Govardhan. And then the next village came to know. Then they also wanted to celebrate Annakoot festival. So day after day, Madhavendrapuri was presiding over this festival and celebrating this Annakoot festival for a long period of time. Here we find Madhavendrapuri, he was so absorbed in the thought of the Lord that even when he was dozing for a few moments, even in that dream Lord came and thought appeared to him. Either he was in an awakened state where he was chanting Krishna's names and seeing Krishna, and when he was asleep then Krishna appeared in his dream. In this way, this is the meaning of Matchitta, means the thoughts of the pure devotees always dwell constantly in Krishna. They don't have any other second thought in their mind. And it is very spontaneous for them. And he also says, Madgata Prana, he says. Which means, their lives are fully devoted to me. Not only they think of Krishna, but their lives are fully devoted to Krishna. That means Krishna is their very life. Krishna is their prana. Krishna is a very life act for such devotees. When Krishna was here is a very nice section from departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka. So Krishna was leaving Hastinapur. You can read a verse, very interesting verse from Bhagavatam. when Krishna was leaving the Pandavas,
I think the virus.
When Krishna was leaving for Dwarka, at the time Yudhishthira came and Krishna offered him obeisances. Then Arjuna and Bhima came and Krishna embraced them because they are equals to Krishna. And Nakula and Sahadev came and they offered namaskar to Krishna. In this way, the Lord reciprocates love with his devotees, although an impersonalist cannot expect to have such a relation with Krishna. Here we are seeing Lord is embracing two of his devotees, and two of his devotees are offering him dandavat. And Lord himself is offering dandavat to Yudhishthira like that. And when he was about to board his chariot and move, then all the ladies of the Hastinapur came. Draupadi, Kunti, Subhadra, Gandhari, Uttara, and many, many others. And they all came to see of Krishna. And tears were coming from their eyes. It was like they were brimming with tears. They wanted to cry. But they felt at such a time when Krishna is leaving, crying tears would be inauspicious sign. So they were trying to wipe out the tears so that nobody will see the tears in their eyes. Because of that, their hearts were throbbing. Because they were not allowing the tears to go down their cheek, their hearts are throbbing in their love. It is a very famous verse.
Satsangan mukta dusango hatum notsahate buddha ketyamanam yasho yasya sakradakaram yarochanam tasmin yasadiya partha saheran viraham katham darshanasparsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanai.
It is said here, tasmin nasta diya partaha. Partaha means all sons of Pritha, including Yudhishthira, Arjun, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, all of them. Sahir and Viraham Katam. How could they tolerate separation from Krishna, with whom they had all these things? Darshana means they were seeing Krishna face to face every day. Krishna was living in their midst. Sparsha. They were touching Krishna's body, transcendental body. Samlapa means they were having talks with Krishna, conversations with him. Shayanasana bhojanaihi. They were sleeping in the same bed with Krishna. Asana. Sometimes they would be sitting with Krishna and chatting with him. Bhojanaihi. They were dining with Krishna. So if somebody has done all these activities with Krishna, then how can they afford to be separated from him? In other words, how painful would that separation be for them? We cannot put it in words. So, in this way, all the Pandavas, they were all crying tears and Krishna was leaving for Dwarka. So their eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna. This is another very famous verse, next verse. It says, if you want the number, you can make a note if you want. This is 1, 10, 11 to 13. First canto, 10 chapter, 11, 12, 13 verses. This is a very famous verse. Sarve te nivishai rakshais tammano drita chetasah vikshanta sneha sambandha ucheirustatratatah. See the symptoms of what happened to them. All their hearts were melting for him on the path of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes. And they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Dikshanta sneha sambadda means dikshanta, the word diksha comes from iksha. Iksha means the eyes. Aksha means the eyes. Dikshanta means they were, their eyes were seeing with great longing for Krishna. And they never wanted to blink their eyes, because if you blink, they are going to lose a few seconds of seeing Krishna, because Krishna is very soon going to go from there. So every moment is very important. That's why they were keeping their eyes open without closing, so that they can drink the nectar of his beauty as much as they can. vichanta, sneha sambandha means out of great attachment. If it is very difficult for any of us to understand, then you can think of one of your most dearest relatives. Isn't it? Somebody whom you love the most. Like, you know, I love my grandfather the most. I can think of, you know, when we would meet him and we are separated from him, you know. He goes to another place. So you would go up to the station, you know, and, you know, peep through the window and, you know, till you tell Tata to him, you know, crying tears, you know. And you know that another few months you cannot meet, 6 months or 1 year, you know. So if you have any relatives like that, you can think of similar relation. So that relationship with Krishna was like that. Sneha sampartha, means bound with snake. Vichelu tatra tatraha. And you are running hither and thither very fastly. If this happens, you have seen in your house sometimes when some special guests have come, now they are going to go. So people are moving hither and thither in a mood of rendering some service to them when they are being sent off like that. So in this way, if one's relationship with Krishna is revived, then one will feel these emotions with respect to Krishna and not with respect to the mundane objects of this world, but with respect to Krishna. So as he says here, Shayanasana Pojanahi, they were actually so intimate with Krishna that they were eating with him, sleeping with him, playing with him, cracking jokes with him. In Bhagavad Gita also, in the 11th chapter, when Arjuna saw that Vishwarupa form, he was shocked seeing that form. Because in that form, he saw there were millions of heads, millions of hands, millions of legs. And he didn't know where it was beginning, where it was ending. All around he saw heads. It appeared as if thousands of suns had arisen in the sky all at once. Like that. And there were all demigods like Shiva, Brahma. That from the Lord's navel, there was a lotus and Brahma was sitting there. And Lord Shiva was also present in that body. And all Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, everyone was present. Hare Krishna. They all were arrayed. And also, he is sitting on that. Hare Krishna. And all the devatas, they were offering prayers with folded palms. They were all praying, oh, shanti, shanti, shanti. Prithvi shanti, antariksha shanti, sarve devaha shanti. Praying for everyone's peace. Let there be peace everywhere. They were all frightened. In great fear, with folded palms, they were offering prayers to that Virat form. And the eyes of that Virat Purusha, Virat form, they were blazing like fire, like sun. And the mouths were like huge mountain caves. And the faces were like death-like faces. Very horrible and frightening faces. And Arjuna saw many soldiers. They were all entering very fastly into their mouths. He saw even Drona, Bhishma, and Duryodhana, Karna, and all the Kauravas. They were all entering into the mouth of that Virat form. Some of them are entering like rivers and others are entering like moths entering into fire. So two examples are given. Those who are noble like Bhishma, Pitamaha and Drona, they were entering like rivers entering into the ocean. And those who were like Duryodhana, evil minded people, they were entering like moths into fire. They were all entering into the moths. And some of them, when they were entering into those mouths, the Virat Purusha was crushing their skull like that. And blood was coming from the mouth and there were tongues that were coming out and licking like that. The word lilati is used, that means it was licking the blood. When Arjuna saw that, he was even trembling more. He saw that form and then he started offering many prayers, asking about the Lord's identity and everything. So in one of those prayers, Arjuna prays his most famous verse. Sakheti matva prasavam jaduktam he krishna he yadava he sakheti ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranayena vati. He says, hey Krishna, I used to call you Sakheti matva. Matva means to, you know, accept. I had accepted you before as an ordinary friend. Sakheti matva prasavam means harsh words. I used so many times harsh words against you. I have called you as Hey Sakha, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava. I have called you so many times like that. The Prabhuji was giving such a nice example yesterday. Sometimes when somebody has a very intimate friend, how he would behave? He was giving an example to Krishna Prabhu. He was telling somebody would go to his friend's house and he would not batter the door or ring the bell, but he would kick the door. And the friend opens the door to say, who is that kicking? And the friend doesn't even look at him. He just goes straight to the fridge. And he opens the fridge and takes out some sandwich. And he, you know, takes some pepper powder or something. And he serves himself. And he, you know, lies in an easy chair. He puts on the TV or whatever. And then eating the sandwich, he's asking his friend, what else you have? Isn't it? So, sometimes the friendship is so thick between friends. A friend can behave like that. So here Arjuna is saying something similar. I call you Hey Sakha, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, I call you like that. Ajanata, because I was unaware of who you are. I never thought you are so great. I thought of you as a friend. So he says, Ajanata, Mahimanam Savedam, I never knew your Mahima. Maya Pramada Pranayana Vapi, owing to my madness, or pranayana, the word pranayana means love. Owing to my intense love for you, or due to my madness, I behaved with you like that, my dear Krishna. So he is saying, please kindly, tashyamaye, please forgive me, swamaham, aprameyam. In front of others, sometimes privately, vihara shayyasana bhojaneshu, similar thing he is saying here also. Vihara means recreation. Shaya means by sleeping together with you, and Bhojaneshu, asana, while sitting with you and while taking food, dining together with you, and I have behaved with you very casually. Please kindly forgive me, he's praying like that. So anyone, that Prabhupada writes a very interesting thing. This goes to show, even in such a frightening situation, Arjuna could not forget his original identity as an eternal friend of Krishna. Even in such a situation. This goes to prove that nobody can wipe out our relationship with Krishna. Nobody can wipe out our remembrance of our relationship with Krishna. Even in such a frightening Viratru darshan, what is he remembering, you see? He is remembering his eternal connection with Krishna as his friend, dealing with him in a very intimate way, confidential way, like that. So such devotees who have lived with Krishna, they can never forget him. They will always remember him. That's why Matchitta, Madgata Prana. And they also render services. Madgata Prana means that not only the thought of my pure devotee is dwelling in me, Krishna says, but the lives are fully devoted to me. Which means, as Prabhupada writes in Natural Instruction, devotional service is not some sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. It's a practical action. Anukulyena Krishna Anushirana Bhakti Rustama. That is Bhakti. Bhakti means one has to render some service favorably to Krishna. That is actually Bhakti. Not that if somebody says that, no, I have a lot of devotion for God. Many people say like that, no? I have a lot of devotion for God. But the devotion should manifest in your actions. Like if a father says, oh, I have a lot of love for my children. Or I love my wife very much, but he doesn't, you know, take care of the children, take care of the wife, it doesn't provide them anything. Then what kind of father is he? Isn't it? So his love for the children and love for his wife should be manifesting in terms of how he is protecting them, taking care of them, providing them the necessities like that. Similarly, when a devotee says that he loves Krishna, thinks of Krishna, the immediate next thing is that a devotee should be rendering service. That Madgata Prana, one should be ready to offer one's life for Krishna. Like you see Madhavendra Puri, he was chanting Krishna's names and Krishna was so pleased with him that he came and demanded Krishna's service. He said, my dear Madhavendra Puri, I want you to install me on the top of Govardhan Hill. And I want you to bathe me, dress me, offer me bhoga. Why? Because Lord loves to accept service from his pure devotees. Is the Lord hungry for food? Or is the Lord not having any proper dress to wear? Or is the Lord really feeling too hot that, you know, It is too hard for him under the ground. In fact, Lord is saying, Aham, he says, you know, Aham Ojasa. He says, I am the light of the sun, I am the light of the moon. You know, Lord is giving heat to the sun. Why should the heat of the sun bother his body? Isn't it? That the Lord loves to accept some service from his pure devotee. And God gives his devotee service like that. Like if somebody loves you and they give you something with love, it is almost irresistible for you to avoid it, isn't it? You have felt that anytime somebody loves you very much, it is just impossible for you to say no. Because of the love, you accept it only because of the love. There is no other reason. And here are Krishna's pure devotees, whom Krishna loves the most. And when they offer him, in fact, Krishna not only waits for them to offer, but he demands from them that you bathe me, you dress me, you know, make a temple for me. And in this way, Madanpuri engages so many others also in service. Later on, you will see how Madanpuri, you know, he goes to Neelachal, you know, Jagannathpuri, to get sandalwood for the Lord. That means devotees, they work very hard, you know, and they're doing service. Like we speak about Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's devotion to Krishna is appreciated by so many devotees worldwide, even today. But in life of Prabhupada you find how much in that ripe old age Prabhupada worked very hard. Amongst all the activities of Prabhupada, what used to stun me the most is when Prabhupada returns to India and his Leela in India, how he was running three big projects at the same time. One in Juhu and one in Vrindavan and the third one in Mayapur. Mayapur is a huge project, Shri Radha Madhav, and Shri Radha Shamsundar in Vrindavan, and here Shri Radha Ras Bihari in Juhu. Then Prabhupada had got the land in Juhu. The land was not ours, land was not in ISKCON's name. It was partially in ISKCON's name, and we had to pay the balance amount, totally about 14 lakhs or so. The full amount was not paid. So the agreement was that we will pay in installments, and with the complete installment is over, the land will be in ISKCON's name. But before that, the Mr. N, who was supposed to offer the land, he started protesting and opposing, and he wanted to drive the Hare Krishna out. And it is a very long story how we got the land in Juhu. At one time, in Prabhupada's absence, the disciples thought that, you know, this Juhu land is not so developed, there are so many mosquitoes here, and the neighbors are not at all friendly, and the owner is trying to kick us out. Now, we had made some foundation and everything, and they broke the walls which you have constructed already. And we are after all, you know, not Indians, we are from America. And it's not possible for us to fight with Indians. And they thought it better that, you know, we just leave this place and go to some other place. So without even telling Prabhupada, they had signed an agreement for giving away the land. Then Prabhupada heard it on phone. He said, everything is finished, he said. But Prabhupada was so wise that he immediately returned back and settled the matter and again put it in a platform where we could again get the land later. So while here the anxiety is in Juhu, the anxiety was not only getting the land, even after getting the land it was all forest. That whole area was like a forest. To make construction was not an easy thing. And Prabhupada knew when Americans were given charge, the Indians were exploiting them. Because they thought these are Americans and they earn in dollars. So we have to exploit them. And Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada knew that when I put Americans in charge of the project, Indians will exploit them. In terms of cement bags, in terms of any purchases that they were doing. So Prabhupada is always, one part of his mind was in Juhu always. On the other hand, in Vrindavan, somebody had promised a land. And the land was almost given to his ISKCON's name. And last few formalities were left. In the last minute, somebody went and told them that, don't you know, the Swamiji is preaching in America and these are all English people, English people and everything. Why did he give land to these people? And the person was again, the owner of the land wanted to take back. Again, fight that also. Prabhupada immediately told him to make the four walls, boundary walls there. And he preached to the person. He said, he told the story of Nriga. He said, Nriga's story, a king gave some cow to a brahmana and took it back. Because of which Durga became a lizard in the next life. So Prabhupada said, if you don't want to become lizard in the next life, don't take it back. But wanting it. So he did all possible things. On one hand, as an acharya, he was preaching very strongly, based on the Shastra. On the other hand, he also knew how to protect Krishna's properties. So he would arouse the public protest, taking help of many life members, many people, and tell them, just see what they are doing with Krishna's land. Prabhupada had worked very hard. So he was also taking care of Vrindavan. And in Mayapur there was a huge land, there was nothing but one small cottage there, a small hut there. Everything was to be constructed. And Mayapur is actually the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to come there and learn about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the holy Dham before he would leave the world. He wanted to give them a Navadvipmandal Parikrama and train them. Nothing was started there. So he would be going to the three places, Mayapur, Vrindavan and Bombay. Again Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay. In the meantime, there would be problems from abroad. There would be problems from... At one time, Prabhupada was in Bombay, all of a sudden he came to know that in Los Angeles there are some people who are propagating a false philosophy, saying that Prabhupada is Krishna, Prabhupada is God. And Prabhupada immediately told his secretary, our devotees have become contaminated by the company of Mayavadis. And they polluted them. And immediately Prabhupada had to travel and so much, you can imagine, preaching worldwide and also taking care of the sea palace in India. So, it goes to show that pure devotees are not just mere idle silent meditators. They also do action. They are very active people. In fact, they are so active that they lay down their lives for Krishna service. That is why when Prabhupada was in his last days, at one time an invitation came from London. One disciple said that Prabhupada can preach in TV, which will be heard by millions of people in London. And besides that, there are also many other preaching opportunities. And Prabhupada wanted to jump up from his bed and go to London. He said, now I am all right, you allow me to go. And the doctor was saying, if the Swamiji travels, he will die. He cannot survive if he again goes for a world tour. In fact, he is very, very sick. He is terribly sick. We can't say anything about his health. And some disciples are upright. In case Prabhupada goes to preach in London and America, and something happens in that, what should be done? You know what Prabhupada said? You can put me in the top of a huge skyscraper building, in the top terrace, and you can bury me there in America somewhere. I don't mind. He said, I don't mind leaving my body in America or London. I have no problem. I will die preaching, he said. That was his confidence. And he traveled and he preached. And at last when he returned to Vrindavan, in his last few days, when he could not, almost 6 months he could not eat anything. They would be just giving drop by drop some milk in his mouth, last 6 months or so. That was his only diet. And even at that time, he would ask them for that dictaphone, bring the dictaphone, bring near, and he would be speaking purport Srimad Bhagavatam, even during his last days in the bed. So that is why one of the disciples, such as Maharaj, compared Prabhupada passing away to Bhishma Dev passing away. He said, Bhishma Dev, when he was lying on the deathbed, all the demigods and sages and saints worldwide had come to see Bhishma Dev passing away. Similarly, when Prabhupada was lying, worldwide, everyone came to see. All the disciples all over the world and many acharyas, they all came to see Prabhupada's passing away. Similarly, when Bhishma Dev, he was actually a friend of everyone. He was actually friendly to Pandavas as well as Kauravas. That's why both the parties had stopped the war and they were watching. Similarly, all kinds of people had come when Prabhupada was passing away. And Prabhupada was remembering Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam purport, speaking it, even at the time of passing away. Just like Bhishma was having Krishna, Sakshat Krishna standing in front of him. Krishna gave a darshan to Bhishma like that. And Prabhupada was also completely Krishna conscious, speaking about Krishna, even during that last breath, till that point of time, he was speaking about Krishna. And he said a very interesting thing. When Bhishma was lying in the deathbed, all kinds of people had come in the sense that there were sages and saints on one hand, and there were also atrocious kings, and there were good kings, pious kings, Raja Rishis, all kinds of people came. Similarly, when Prabhupada passed away, many hippies came to see also. There were hippies with long hair and beard who were dragadics. At the same time, there were great sannyasis with danda, and there were grihasthas. And there were devotees, there were non-devotees, there were news reporters, and there were writers, journalists, and there were also educationists and professors and politicians, all kinds of people came. So he says a very interesting thing. He says, this goes to show, if Bhishma Pitamaha has to have friendship with so many diverse people, different kinds of people, that goes to show that how mature he must have been. Similarly, this goes to show that Prabhupada was teaching universal religious principles and not some sectarian religion. If Prabhupada was teaching some sectarian religion, only his own caste people will come to see him. Isn't it? Like that. Whereas here, people from all over the world have come to see him back then. So this way, the lives of the few devotees are totally devoted to Krishna. Krishna is there, very light. And Prabhupada was so intelligent. Even if the disciples would do Pradalpa, Prabhupada would immediately turn it into Krishna consciousness when he was teaching in America. And many of the disciples would ask many foolish questions in the early days when Prabhupada was teaching, when you go for the morning walk and all. And Prabhupada would very patiently answer them without getting disturbed. But he would make Krishna conscious. Somebody would ask him, one disciple asked him, Prabhupada asked that mosquitoes are the spiritual world. And Prabhupada said, if there are, they all are chanting Hare Krishna. So you may give a non-Krishna conscious prajapa into Krishna consciousness. So that is the kind of absorption they have. Bodhayanta Paraspara Namaskar, they always talk about Krishna. That's the only business. The opposite of this is prajapa. This is the verse by Kapila. He says, Satam Satanga Namadirya Sandhito. My devotees, they all come together to discuss my glories and my pastimes. He says, Namadirya Sandhito, lots of brothers they discuss together. Bhavante Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. And the last Kata is Rasayana Kata. Rasayana means very Nectarian pastimes of the Lord to hear. That is the only business, he says. And that is that bhakti blossoms more and more in the heart of the devotees. In Vrindavan also, the gopis of Vrindavan, Prabhupada explains how in the daytime when Krishna would go for herding the cows, although the gopis are not allowed to go with Krishna, their hearts would go with him always. In fact, the gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna. There is nobody beyond the level of gopis. As I said, the example of gopis is very appropriate. When the gopis are talking amongst one another, the central theme was only about Krishna. So, one day the gopis are speaking at the restaurant in Bhagavata, what they were talking amongst them, talking amongst themselves. The gopis are describing what Krishna will be doing in the forest. They are thinking that Krishna would be lying on the green pastures with his left hand, keeping his head on his elbow of his left hand, and he plays on his flute, and he moves his eyebrows so beautifully, and with his tender, delicate fingers, and he plays on the flute, and the sound that emanates from the flute is so intoxicating that even the cows, which are eating the grass, although they have put the grass in their mouth, they are unable to chew it. They are totally stunned, and they are with their ears raised, and the cows are attentively hearing the sound of the flute of Krishna, and they are not even chewing. The complete absorption. Why only animals? They are saying even the inanimate objects like Yamuna. Yamuna has a very fierce wave. But Yamuna, she gives up her fierce wave, and she becomes very mild. And she is flowing, and when Krishna is walking the banks of Yamuna, Yamuna is her heart is begging. How nice it will be if Krishna puts his lotus feet on my head. If I can get some, that part is from Krishna's feet. But she sees that she doesn't get one. So in this way, even the inanimate objects in Vrindavan, they are attracted by Krishna's foot. Krishna is always attracted with the Srivasa symbol in his chest, because God the person resides in the chest of Krishna always. And he dresses himself with very beautiful flower garlands, which are made of vast flowers. Although Mother Yashoda in the morning dresses Krishna with very beautiful golden necklace, pearl necklaces and golden necklaces. She dresses them very beautifully. When he goes into the forest, the friends are not satisfied. They want to decorate Krishna with wild forest flowers, different color flowers. And Yashoda has put
a little bit of equation also, which has been, but the friends decorate them with some minerals from the golden in here. They take it and they decorate it with some color minerals points. That's when Krishna is voted. And Krishna is decorated with a beautiful peacock feather on his head, with curlish, blackish, curly lock, lock of hair. It's just extremely charming. And when Krishna walks along with his flower bar bench, and then carries on the lower center, the gopis are now telling him, telling him, he looks exactly like Lord Vishnu, Paramat Dai, all the demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varna, Vayu, all of them. Because when Krishna appears in this world, all the demigods, they appear like flower bars, many of them. Many of the flower bars are actually demigods, not the other side. And he looks like a royal hero on the top of the golden hill. On one hand he has the cow, on the other hand he plays with it, covered by his friends, and makes a lot of mockery, a lot of jokes with his friends. And he is so expert in singing, he is so expert in playing on his flute. And in this way Krishna spends all day with his friends on the top of Govardhan Hill. And there are many beautiful trees surrounding the Govardhan Hill. Around that Govardhan Hill is the thick forest of Vrindavan. And even these trees, although they don't move from one place to another, and they will be considered as much less advanced than human beings, these trees. Still, they have so much love for Krishna that they are yielding all the fruits and flowers, and honey is constantly dripping from the tree. So that Krishna may enjoy them, enjoy all the things. Even trees are offering these wonderful gifts for Krishna. And when Krishna plays on his flute, all the athletics, all the birds, and even the cranes and the ducks, and they all hear the sounds in Vrindavan. They all close their eyes and gradually go to trance, and they are totally stunned that they stop moving. They become totally stunned. So this way the gopis are verifying how the different devotees in Vrindavan are hearing Krishna's flute. And that Krishna plays his flute in the first note. You heard this? And then the first note. So I will sing this first note for us. You have to close your eyes.
Drizzling. And the drizzling, you know what is drizzling? Drizzling is not rain.
regular part of it. And what is it visiting? They are visiting small, tiny flowers, which Balan Krishna says are very beautiful in the Abhishek kind of thing. So Gopis are saying that Lord Krishna is so beautiful and is constantly playing with his friends in the forest, and how unfortunate are we that we can only think of him in human bosom and we have no occupation of Krishna. And in the evening, when Krishna is running from the forest with all the cows and calves, with a hoof raising the dust of Sindhama, the sky, Gopis are walking from a distance. There is some of the Adi place to receive Krishna in the evening. So, Prabhupada writes in the chapter, very interesting thing, that for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya followers, which are all of us, one should cultivate Krishna consciousness by developing feelings of separation from Krishna. So one should render service to Krishna, at the same time develop feelings of separation from Krishna. In fact, Mantri Prabhupada says the devotee should learn to cry for Krishna. Now, crying for Krishna is not putting some glittering in the eyes and shower some tears. It is not artificial imposition. It is something that comes from the heart of the devotee. Like here we heard today how the Hastinapura Vasi, when Krishna was leaving Hastinapura, how they were crying. Because of intense love for Krishna. So maybe Arjuna is crying here, Saketi Matva, Satavam Jiruttam, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadav, Hey Saketi. Why? Because he is understanding Krishna, you are so great, but still you are dealing with me in such a friendly way. Because of that, the heart cries. And one feels such intense relationship and connection with Krishna that one can constantly remember Krishna, build on Krishna like that. In fact, the Sikh Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are always absorbed in the mood of the Gopis of Vrindavan. When deep ecstasy, you are always in the mood of Gopis of Vrindavan, to know Krishna. They never said, I have seen Krishna, I have met Krishna. They never said that. They always were inquiring. So these are the mood. Here are the vegetables, the challenges, the human drama, and where are you? Are you in the foot of government? Are you in the drama? Where are you? So where are you means nothing I have not yet found. So they are in the mood of searching. You have heard the saying in which Aachen makes the heart grow fonder. Aachen makes the heart grow fonder. When one feels the separation, when one feels the Aachen, then one can feel the need of the Lord much more prominently than the Lord is available in the center of us. That's not specifically in one of the lectures you said that in this material world, our mind and the senses are not good equipment to capture the Lord. It's not possible to capture the Lord with our mind and senses in the material world. In fact, the darshan of the Lord is denied for us in this world. Why? In order to test the individual divinity, how much are they feeling want for Krishna? In order to test that, the Lord does not give darshan. It's not possible for us to pursue Krishna. So it's a kind of test, a kind of examination for how much sincere we are in exhibiting our Krishna consciousness, when developing loving attraction for them. And only when one renders service, in service one can see Krishna. Otherwise there is no possibility. So when one does sadhana, then one gets service to Krishna. And when one does service with a humble attitude, then in that humble service one is able to perceive the presence of Krishna. Krishna and the humble servant.
So one has to develop the humble servant attitude, which brings about this kind of hankering for Krishna.
In fact, this hankering is the only thing that can actually give us like step by step incremental spiritual life. There is nothing else in spiritual life. We try to advance. Actually speaking, that to break up on material tendencies, that is the sadhana. Yeah. Actually, when you are doing sadhana, you are producing simply mechanical. So, you do mechanically, that will never produce Krishna Prema. Mechanical chanting. That chanting Hare Krishna with a longing to meet Krishna. The one chance like that, then the sadhana is going to give us advancement, more and more. That is why, if the sadhana does not produce separation, it is no sadhana. That's all. So that is actually the lesson of performing real sadhana bhakti. That means, the more one performs sadhana, the more one's eagerness to meet Krishna should happen in the heart. Then the end of Krishna, that anxiousness should come. How long will it be? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying the seventh verse now. Sudhāyitam nireśayana chakṣuṣā prādhuṣāyitam śunyāyitam jagat sarvam govinda virahenane. My dear Lord, Govinda virahenane. Baba Singh, this is Govinda necessity, Baba Singh. Once you feel the Govinda necessity, not money necessity, or not some enjoyment necessity, once you feel Govinda necessity, if you feel the Govinda virahenane, then one can achieve Lord Govinda. Then it is possible for getting Lord Govinda. He said, one moment appears to be like 12 years or more. He is feeling like that. One moment. That is why Rupa Goswami gives the example of boy and girl relationship. He is saying, just like a boy and girl are fond of associating with one another, the devotee and the Lord are very eager to associate with one another. That's why if a girl has told the boy that I will come at this particular time, to this particular spot, to pray for me. And she says, I will be wearing blue dress. Then the boy says, if this one is going to come, then now it is 5:58, 5:59. How do you feel? Jivaritam nineshe. One moment appears like 12 years or more. My God, when will this clock finish the ticking off in 1 minute? Really? And anything that appears blue, you know, blue bus comes to you. The blue bus offers itself and you think like that. So anything that is blue, one is fucking mad at you. One feels like that. That is kind of spell of madness because it's material consciousness. So maybe the devotee of Krishna also, Yavam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Tamayi Pashyati. He sees Krishna as the God. And devotee sees the separation, then he meets Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this verse. That is why in Bhagavatam also this famous verse is there. It says, Tadashmatalam hridayam patelam pradrityamane harinamadhe. That is it. Pradrityamane harinamadhe. Nādi kriyatāpaya rāvikāro netre jalamgā sarudeshu vrasha. It says, Tadashmatalam hridayam patelam. That heart or the heart of a person who is chanting the Lord's name. If chanting of the Lord's name do not lead to tears in the eyes, standing of hair in the body, and breathing heavy, then that the person's heart is sick or in the heart. Okay. So, Bhagavad Gita is a very, very strong statement in Bhagavad Gita. That means that heart does not melt. So how to melt our heart, which is like a stone? So, Vaishnavas are very intelligent. You should equip yourself with those tools which will help you to achieve that bhakti, softness of heart. And you should not be anxious to equip yourself with the other tools, which may be apparently making you famous among people, but which will not produce bhakti. For example, can anybody say examples of those tools which will make you famous among people, but which will not give bhakti? Like, you know, ability to control senses, great shastric learning, pandit yes, in shastra. Many followers, Dan is passion, doing big charity, being very famous. Being a great college in Sanskrit, ability to recite shlokas and so many things. So these are things which will make us famous, but these tools are useless tools. We should not equip ourselves with these tools because they are practically useless if one wants something. And what are the tools that will bring forth something? Humility, yes. Thanking for Krishna, humility. Service attitude. Tolerance. Yes, yes. Learn to tolerate devotees and serve devotees. Service attitude, humility. Doing the compassion for the other people, yeah. Doing other people bhakti. So, we have to find out what are the things that I should cherish, what are the things I should not anchor for unnecessarily in my life. And after getting them, then we have to find out how can I achieve these things. But how can I achieve my humility, tolerance, and these sublime qualities? These are also very difficult to achieve. That is why we should offer prayers from the scriptures which will bring about these qualities in us. Like, for example, there is a prayer which says, Pratijnatava Govinda Name Bhakta Pranashyati Iti Samsmritya Samsmritya Pranasam Dharayamyaham. And the devotee is saying, oh, my dear Lord Govinda, Pratijnatava Govinda, you made a promise in the scripture that Name Bhakta Pranashyati, my devotee will never perish. Thinking of this, promise that you have made, that my devotee will never perish. It is samsmritya, samsmritya. Since you don't bring this again and again, prana, sandhara, I am holding my life as devotee's friend. That means, you know, my only hope is that Krishna, your devotee will be protected. Somehow I am putting on my life. Although this world is infested with so many dangers, you know, there are shark-like material diseases in my life, which are always coming to devour me in this ocean of material world. And there are also storms that come, and not spot. Like that, there are many dangers in this world. So, with this hope that, you know, Krishna will protect me and my family. There are other words we generally recite after chanting the 16 rounds. In this verse we chant, Aparadha sahasrani kriyante avarnisham maya dātoham kiti māmatva kshamatva madhusodana. So, there is kshamatva. Please, my dear Krishna, forgive me. Why? Because it's in Aparadha Sahasrani, I am doing thousands of offenses while chanting the holy name. Kriyante, Aharnishamaya, day and night I commit offenses. So, kindly forgive me. Why? Dātavam iti māmatva. Accepting me as your servant. Please kindly forgive me. There is a very famous verse, Rupa Goswami. He called it Karpanya Panchika Stotram, the Rupa Goswami. I got a name on this, very famous name. Then he prays, my dear Lord, I am so small, but you are so great. I am so wicked-minded, but you are so saintly in your behavior. And I am so impure, and my heart is full of sins when I chant your holy name. But you are the most saintly and most pure, and you are most magnanimous. I beg you to forgive me for all my offenses and remember this one infinite soul who occasionally remembers your holy name, he says like that. I occasionally chant your name. So which means that most often my mind is going for sense gratification. That whenever I chant 16 rounds, I am somehow, you know, trying to think of you. So other times I am thinking of other things. So he's saying, I am wicked minded, but you are very friendly this time. And I am very small, and you are very great. And I am completely sinful, and you are sitting with you. So this kind of prayers should be offered to a devotee in order to feel the humility in the heart. Because if one offers his prayers, any hard-hearted person's heart will melt. There is one very easy way to feel humble. That is that when one focuses on one's deficiencies and weaknesses and understands that I am after all not that great. Like in my case, I used to think, I would think of the moments when I lost my temper and I scolded the devotees. So I would understand, oh, after all, I am not a very self-controlled person. What kind of great father am I? I became angry on the devotees. So we can think of moments when we failed in our life. They will become lusty, they will become angry, they will become proud. So thinking of those moments makes us really humble. And immediately makes us run to Krishna, so to speak. Krishna is really helpless. So this is the mood of a devotee. Devotee should feel a mood of helplessness and heart. Only then one can get bhakti. Only then it is possible. Like they sing in the song. करते सकाती जय होना ताया ताया मत करो मुझे इसको ना प्लीज गिव मी दैट शक्ति बल्कि ऑफर रेस्पेक्ट टू एवरी लिविंग एंटिटी इवन दोज हु आर माय एनिमी दैट शक्ति इज द मोर डिफिकल्ट शक्ति टू गेट यू नो यू कैन डेवलप योर बाइसेप्स बाय गोइंग टू जिम इफ यू गो टू जिम आफ्टर सम मंथ्स यू हैव अ वेरी नाइस बाइसेप्स इट्स वेरी इजी टू डेवलप सो दैट आर यू डेवलपिंग money power also is not very difficult. If you do business, you work very hard, you earn a lot of money. But this shakti, what is the shakti is begging for? Sakale samane goyite shakti. How can I respect each and every living entity? Especially those whom I consider to be my enemies. How can I respect them? Like the fifth chapter Krishna says, you know, Sugran Mitra, Yuvrati, Namadhyasta, Deshya Bankashu, Sadhu Shati Shapate, Samabuddhi Vishishyate, Sugran, Bhagavan well-wisher, Mitra, Bhagavan friends, Hari, my enemy, Udasi, those who are neutral people, Matyasta, those mediators, Jeshya, those who are doing Jeshya, envious of me, as those who are envious of Jeshya, Bandushu, those who are relatives, Sadhu, Shvapita, Papishu, those who are saintly in behavior, Papishu, sinful people. How can I see all the people equally and respect them? How can I develop respect your heart towards everyone? So give me that shakti, is bringing us special master. So if one prays like this, then it is possible for one to achieve humility, and that humility can bring about bhakti in the heart. And bhakti also comes by hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Like I was speaking all the pastimes from Vrindavan, which is a brief Krishna book. I would like to conclude with one small episode from my personal life. I was telling a little bit of it in the last class, that when I was, I think it was second year, end of third year, beginning, in my engineering days, that I used to go to one temple, I said, you remember? Yeah. Huh? I didn't tell that. That temple was also called as Gopinath Temple. It's a small temple, it's a Gopinath temple they call it, but Gopinath standing alone there with this group. And the Krishna Bharat Devi, beautiful lady of Krishna. So I used to go to the temple, and I was telling you that, you know, I was on one hand a show worker, but still attracted to Krishna. I was going to Krishna temple also. So when I had gone to receive that great Vaishnava, I was telling, one Vaishnava I had gone to receive. I wanted to say a little bit more about the Vaishnava. So, we had received him 2-3 of us. We received him from the station and we were walking back to our temple. On the way, when we were walking, he was tapping our shoulder. And we saw that he was constantly singing Krishna's name.
Maja Sarimasana Gopala Govinda. Now so many names were sending. Krishna's name one after another. And we were surprised. So his mouth is filled with Krishna's names like that. So one of my friends who was along with me, he at one point stopped him and said, I have a question to ask you. He says, you are always saying this Krishna's name, but this Krishna is very cruel, he said. Because you see, how he sided the Pandavas and he destroyed all the Kaurav army. Why is he so cruel? Then he said like this, immediately that Vaishnava, he raised his voice and started speaking very loudly. He said, what are you saying? My Lord is cruel? How can he be cruel? And he said, Lord actually went as a Shanti Dut, as a messenger, the Kaurava. Lord told, we don't want anything from you. Just give 5 strong religions for the Pandavas. Because they are Kshatriyas, let them rule the 5 religions. And you take the whole world, you can rule it. Lord gave such freedom to the Kauravas. He didn't demand anything. And 12 years, the last devotees Pandavas, they went to the forest. But Ajnatavas, 12 years, how they suffered the forest. And Lord allowed his devotees to suffer like that. Just to allow Arjuna to have sufficient time, and then later on hand over the kingdom to Pandavas. So the Lord said, how can you call such a lot of cruel? Go and wash your mouth, he said. The very same mouth which told you that Lord is cruel, go and wash your mouth. He told that part. And then he was telling me that I can't hear, sir. He was springing from his eyes. Eyes became reddish. You could see that. So I had another question, I let him quiet, I didn't ask him. And in that way, the way back then he started telling so many Krishna pastimes. And he reached the temple. And then, just before he reached the temple, he told me, the Lord is so kind that he has called me here. That he wants me to bathe him, he wants me to dress him. He wants me to, they have cooked a bowl also today, they have made some pongal, chakra pongal they call it. See, they want me to offer it to the Lord. Lord wants me to offer. The Lord always demands from me. Then I asked him, so this is the first time you're coming to this temple? Yeah, I asked him. He said, no, the Lord is so kind, He has been inviting me for the past 25 years. He said, every year I come. Every year during this time, he comes and he comes to offer this. Then he went in, and in that temple, there was no restriction for entering into the Sanctum Sanctorum. So I also could enter along with my friends. So I saw him, how he was bathing the deity and how he was dressing. It's so much of prema, so much of love. So he was treating him exactly like a person. Like, I can tell you how he was treating, just as a mother would treat her child. Just as a mother would, bathe her child and put the powder and, put the dress and the body and put the shoes and legs and everything. In the same way he was dressing the deity with so much of attraction to the deity. And as dressing the deity, he submerged his face in the lotus feet of the deity. And the shuddering tears. Then he came out and then he spoke something from Bhagavatam. I don't remember so clearly, it's a faint memory. But he was speaking, Lord, God is coming out. He was actually blind, as I told you. He was blind. And after speaking the katha, then they told him to give prasad to everyone. This hand he was giving him, prasad to everyone. I also accepted. And he didn't take a single penny. That's a penny money. He had to went back, he went to drop him back. And the way back also he was talking so many glories. So whenever I used to recite this verse, the thought of the Vaishnava used to come to my mind. Because great devotees, they have no other business. This is the only business. They will be very grateful to you if you give them opportunity to speak about Krishna. And that we consider as a great reward. Not money, or not any fame or name or followers, or anything of that sort. That never touches their heart at all. When Uddhava entered Vrindavan, gopis, when they received him, Uddhava was glorifying the gopis. He was telling them, oh gopis, you have achieved the topmost level of Krishna prema, and this is what the whole world is hankering for, You don't have it and you have it. And gopis said, what are you saying? That you have come to give us Krishna's message, so give us that message. Don't be glorifying us. They were not interested in their own glorification. They want to hear what Krishna's message for them. In fact, Uddhava spoke to them for several days and months, and when Uddhava was leaving, the gopis were crying, and they were praying to Uddhava for a benediction. You know what was the benediction they sought from him? They said, oh Uddhava, please, kindly bestow the benediction that we will never forget Krishna, who is always the Mother. So this is one of the benediction that we learned from him. So the devotees of the Lord, this is their prana, matchitta, matchitta prana. It is their life to talk about Krishna. And because we are not on that plane, that is why we began today's chat. We're talking about concentration and dharana, dhyana, samadhi. We're talking about that because we are trying to chant Krishna's names and trying to hold Krishna's names. Called as smriti, anusmriti, as explained in Upanishad, extension smriti, anusmriti, dhyana, all that he explained. How to hold the Krishna's names in our ears when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this names of Krishna has got the form, pattern, qualities, attributes, everything inbuilt like a capsule. Everything is present in it. One small mantra, everything is present. So by reciting this mantra again and again, repeatedly in the hearing, just as Rukmini was hearing about Krishna's glory from Narada, and she developed a loving attraction for Krishna, and she felt a great separation from Krishna to want to meet him, we can also develop that kind of attraction for Krishna. This attraction is called as Purvarag. Actually there are four types of separation, Vipralabha. Purvarag, Mana, Prema Vaisitya, and Pravad, they call it. There are three things we will discuss another time, but first one is Purvarag, they call it, which means feeling of attraction for Krishna when you have not yet met him. And that comes simply by hearing about Krishna. Like read Krishna book, chant Krishna's name, and try to authentically hear the name regularly every day. We make more and more endeavor, calm down the raging mind and hear the Krishna's names, and we will develop a very great loving attraction for Krishna. And we are talking about so many great devotees in today's class, and they all have attained the stage of spontaneous attraction for Krishna. And we are not in the stage. We are just living Vaidhi Bhakti now. But by doing this Vaidhi, regularly one day it becomes spontaneous. Vaidhi Bhakti means like, you know, when you go to typewriting class, K, S, D, F, G, F, semicolon, F, K, J, F, J. Type it. Chup, J. That's what you type, isn't it? And type it. Because then you have to see each letter. Sometimes your finger goes in between. It goes into the typewriting machine, you know. You get stuck up there. So it's very difficult in the beginning. So, you know, you have to see each and every letter. Some people use one finger for typing, you know. But the sincere person should learn proper typing, not just type it one finger. Properly you learn, then the upper keys, then the lower keys, everything you learn. And after some time you get something called a blind touch. You know blind touch? You know blind touch? Blind touch means you will see the text and you can type shuddering or rain, you know. You type very fast. So after that you don't have to see anything. A person who sees you, then you wonder, hey, what are you typing? How do you know which letter is that? Now, how are you typing? Because you adapt, you come to that state. It is possible to type like that. It's possible. Same way with bhakti also. In the beginning, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he goes in between. Sometimes mind is wandering. It appears like a Hyglian task, you know. But the day will come, you know, when I will, you know, chant, you know, be able to call up Krishna's name properly. But then if you keep doing it sincerely, Krishna tried to find some shortcut by typing one hand, one finger speaking. You have to follow the proper position. Then you will develop this spontaneous loving attraction for Krishna. Matchitta, matchitta prana.